Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses.
It is not hard to destroy a college.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
Obviously, big story of the day is the continual destruction that we are seeing in Los Angeles with these wildfires. If you're watching any of the coverage on television, I know Fox is throwing up, like, you know, these percentages. It looks like one of the areas, I think they're calling it the Lydia Fire, is now 75% contained, but over 9,000-plus buildings and 29,000-plus acres just absolutely destroyed in this catastrophe. We'll also get to what everybody was talking about yesterday after the news, the Jimmy Carter funeral and the conversations, the laughs that were had, maybe the jokes that were told between Donald Trump and Barack Obama. Very interesting that you can laugh and giggle with Hitler. I don't know. I thought that was kind of against the rules, but we'll try to make sense of it. And also the New York Post with a exclusive on a lip reader revealing what exactly Trump was telling Barack Obama.
Here we go.
According to these experts.
Okay.
I mean, I have my thoughts. I tried to watch the clip over and over.
I mean, they were making small talk. That's what you do, right?
I think Trump was like, can you believe she screwed up the Pledge of Allegiance? Seriously?
A couple lip readers did say that they said something to the effect of, you know, let's talk or let's have a meeting.
Let's go behind closed doors and discuss the real issues of the day.
But where was Michelle?
Well, let me ask you.
That's what I was wondering.
Let me ask you this. If Michelle was there, would Barack have been so chummy with
It's a good Trump? Question. Interesting question. I'll venture
to. I don't think so.
You don't think so?
No. Nope.
Now, she would not be chummy with Trump.
No, like Karen Pence wasn't chummy with Trump.
Yeah.
Or anybody.
You see Kamala, by the way, when she kind of looked back and she was like, oh, Trump's talking with Obama. I used to get that look from my mom back in the day when she would drive me to football practice and look in the back seat when me and my buddy wouldn't shut up. So I know what that looks like. Boy, she looked very angry. But then again, she lost, so I don't understand, you know. Yeah, I guess she'll have to just figure it out and move on. Maybe she can be the next governor of California and figure out how to prevent wildfires. We'll see.
I think Trump is, Trump and Obama are like, yeah, we're the two-termers.
Yeah.
We're the winners. You guys are the losers.
Trump and Obama. I saw one person say.
Bush was there, too. He's a two-termer.
Oh, that's
Did you see how big Bush got, by the way? Boy, he's put on some weight.
I love how
that's
he
a big bush.
He walks. I love how he walks by, and then he kind of gives Obama like a bro bump on his belly.
Yeah,
it was kind of funny.
I've got a great description, a great summary of everything that we were seeing visually yesterday play out, either on television or social media. We'll give you that from the funeral after the news. But let's get to the news. Round number two at 7:07. The great Dawn Stensland.
So you had mentioned the powerful winter storm that dumped the heavy snow, glazed the roads, ice across the South, Texas, Oklahoma, and now moving eastward into the southern United States overnight. So southern governors declaring states of emergency, shutting down things like schools, among them Arkansas Governor Sarah Sanders, bringing out the National Guard to help those stranded motorists in the South. They're just not equipped to deal with this. And a lot of times because they have trees such as pine trees that don't have the deep root systems. So you have the trees just toppling, you know, easily ice covered roadways. So as now, when we think about the heaviest snowfall expected today across the northern half of Arkansas and then much of Tennessee, we'll be talking to Mr. President in air quotes from Nashville, Sean Farris. So I'll be interested to see, you know, what he's saying about it, because it's, I mean, 6 to 9 inches of snow.
You know what? I'm going to be very objective here. It's really, because I lived there for 4.5 years, and I get it. Like, you don't get a ton of snow in the South. I totally understand it. But it's really inexcusable that a state like Tennessee, with all of the migration to that state, the amount of people that want to live in the Nashville, Tennessee area, or just in Tennessee in general, I think the U-Haul number showed it was in the top 5 of people that were migrating to the state. And yeah, you only get a snowstorm every couple of years, and it's only, 4, 5, 6 inches. Can you get some salt trucks? Seriously, can you get some plows? We talk about Democrats being unprepared. Is it too hard to get some trucks that is so that 4 inches doesn't shut down a city and schools for an entire week? I mean, really, what are they doing down there? I say that as a former resident.
Yeah, I think that you have to look at the risk reward, if you will. In other words, it costs a lot of money to have that management and that preparation.
Mm-hmm.
And so if they're thinking that they will have these powerful types of winter storms, if it's going to happen every winter, then you have to look at the cost of all those shutdowns.
Sure.
And all the rescues.
Yep.
But if it's going to happen and it's so seldom, then is it really worth that investment? Is it just safer and better to just shut things down for a bit because it's a rare occurrence?
Mm-hmm. I remember I lived on a street called Bradford Hills Drive in Nashville, and it was a little bit of a hill. And when we got 3 or 4 inches, they don't plow the street. I had an SUV at the time, a Jeep Grand Cherokee. I couldn't get down the bottom of the hill to get to my convenience store gas station just to get coffee and fill up my SUV. It was literally, the roads were frozen with 4 inches for 5 days.
But part of it, Nick, is it's okay the way that they, the engineers, the way that they build their roads. But also, I remember even as a kid, because we lived in North Carolina for 6 years,
yeah,
Charlotte, then Raleigh. And so even, I remember my dad saying, because he's so much into trees and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
He used to talk about the fact that in the southern states, so you have trees like those tall pines, let's say.
Yep.
But they grow differently than they would grow here. And so the root systems will give way, if they get ice on them or they get weighed down by snow, let's say 6 to 9 inches.
Mm-hmm.
So what can you do if you have all of these trees just toppling over?
Yeah.
Then, how do you mitigate that situation?
Yeah.
So then that really would take long-term planning as far as what kinds of trees that you would plant. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, just harking back to something I said earlier in the 6 o'clock hour, that's something that during the Trump administration, their, Interior Department, they were looking at that kind of thing in Western states, in Southern states. What kinds of trees can we plant that have deeper roots that are going to do better?
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But that takes long term planning.
By the way, you lived in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Yeah,
huh? I heard it's amazing there.
As a kid.
Yeah, my wife's mom, my mother-in-law, her brother has lived in Raleigh twice with his family due to work, and they've relocated there multiple times. They're back again for a second stint. And they love it there.
Yeah, Charlotte, and then Raleigh. We moved away when I was a beginning sophomore year. We moved every 2 to 4 years, for crying out loud.
So this is the, you living here for now, what, 30 years?
Yeah.
This is the longest stretch of staying in one place.
Yeah. Well, almost, since 1997 moved. Mm-hmm. Yeah. From Cleveland. I worked at NBC in Cleveland, Ohio.
Wow.
Before, and then Chicago, CBS News before that.
Chicago.
And, so since 97, that's why, no matter what has happened in our lives, no matter what storms we've faced, and, with Larry and I, I've said, I'm not moving.
Yeah.
It's not happening.
Yep.
We're in the same house. You know what I mean? Because it's I'm not doing this. But
yeah,
that's why when you guys moved, I was not kidding. I'm a professional. I can pack the car. I can pack a U-Haul truck. I'm a professional mover.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because I've been doing it since I was a little kid.
You don't leave one little space or inch,
nope,
unaccounted for?
Nope.
Yeah. That's how my wife is when she packs bags and suitcases. She smushes everything in there. I call her a professional smush artist. I leave all this space. She's like, you're not even remote. It's the same thing with the dishwasher. I cannot load the dishwasher properly. I really can't. True story. I can admit that on the radio. My wife will end up finding a way to get 6 more plates in the dishwasher, and they still come out clean.
this is a point of contention in my home.
It is. I think it's in a lot of homes.
Because my husband will go, oh, sure, I can't do anything right. Yep. But he doesn't, yeah, as far as the dishwasher.
I've been neutered.
So then, do you just try to be diplomatic and then sneak back when they're out of the kitchen? You know?
Occasionally. Occasionally.
Is this still the news?
Yes.
Oh, sorry, Greg.
I'm sure Greg loads that dishwasher perfectly.
No, I don't. Know your load. Yeah.
We are sponsored, by the way, by the Special Olympics of Pennsylvania. So as we talk about this, the states of emergency, and by the way, the Biden administration now approving all of that federal help and FEMA help during the declaration of the disaster that's going on in Los Angeles. We've been talking a lot about this. We know that at least 10 people have been killed in these raging wildfires, which are growing in some parts of Los Angeles County and beyond. We know that the latest crisis that started occurring midday yesterday and especially last night, these looters posing as firefighters or fire officials, posing as utility workers, and then moving in. The looters have a plan. They're moving into these areas, where wealthy areas where people were forced to evacuate their fancy multi-million dollar homes. The looters are coming in and ransacking the homes.
How is it possible that looters are more prepared and have a better plan of attack to accomplish their objective than our elected taxpayer-funded politicians?
Oh, God.
Yeah. Dressed as firefighters? What, do they steal David Weir's tight coat?
The clothespin?
For the clothespin?
Yeah, and utility workers, Nick. They're pretending and posing as these, you know, individuals moving in. So what I'm seeing, at least 20 people have been arrested in the past 24 hours, arrested in the aftermath of these massive fires that have just taken down whole neighborhoods. So police and officials in California, they're putting out warnings that officers, they say, are in the Hollywood Hills, for example. They're flooding these impacted areas. But the other issue here that's happening is vigilante citizens moving in, saying, no, I'm going back.
Mm-hmm.
I'm protecting my home. And so this now is setting the stage for, you know, you hope that violence does not happen. But as people become emotional about this and feel that they're being preyed upon and victimized, you know, in a double way with these fires ravaging the very well-to-do areas of the Pacific Palisades, like I say, Hollywood Hills, another area around Altadena. And so the evacuees, you know, are fearing that even if their home survived, that it will be ransacked by these looters and burglars and robbers.
Yeah, I saw, was it Tom Hanks and I don't know if it was Steven Spielberg or somebody else. Their property and their homes survived, yet everything around them, there's some pictures. I think it was The Sun had the website, The Sun had pictures up. It's amazing. Like you talk about some of these people that were fortunate enough that their property survives, but can you imagine, like, how awkward it would be going back there? Like, your house is fine, but yet your entire neighborhood is rubble?
No.
It's just, I mean, I don't even know that I would want to continue living there. And you're not going to be able to sell it, right? Like, who's going to buy your property in a completely destroyed, you know, neighborhood or cul-de-sac or a community?
Well, yeah, and to your point, you know, for anybody, no matter if you're wealthy, if you're famous, if your home is devastated by fire, all your picture, all the stuff that you can't replace.
Yeah.
You know, even if you have insurance, but now we're learning that a lot of people don't have the homeowner's insurance. They lost the insurance.
Yep.
So it's just the devastation, mm-hmm, just continues this morning.
And by the way, also, you know, we talked a lot about drones, right? You know, yeah, leading up to the holiday. China, apparently, to combat, like, really, really hardcore fires with big infrastructures, like big tower-type buildings, they use drones to put out fires. I remember yesterday we were talking about how that, you know, you couldn't get any of these firefighters up in the air to fight from, you know, thousands of feet above, and everything had to be on the ground. I would love to know, and maybe we have them in this country, but if anybody's in the firefighting profession in our audience, have we deployed drones for certain firefighting activities? Because I saw some of the videos in China. Man, they are badass. I mean, they go right up there and just put everything out.
I think a piece of this is, because I know there were some people, like you're saying, calling for especially the choppers, the planes, the drones. The problem initially was that on day one, they had those hurricane force winds. They had up to 100 mile an hour winds, mm-hmm. or gusts, I should say.
Yeah.
And so I think the drones would just get blown right out of there.
Yeah, that's probably right.
So that's another, you know, once the winds died down, they were not just dropping the water, but the, what's that called with the powder? It's a pink powder that they mm-hmm. can, that's a fire retardant.
Yep.
So we have that going on. Speaking of firefighters and in LA, one of the headlines has been mismanagement cuts in their LA fire department is by as much as $17.5 million. And as well, many, they're depleted as far as they're trying to hire more firefighters in Philadelphia. The last of the seven fire stations that were shut down closed back in 2009, which was a huge story at that time. I was still on Fox 29 at this time when we had reported this. And it was really devastating news for Philadelphia. It was, you know, a recession, obviously the too big to fail, the market collapse that happened in 2008, you know, and it was rough at that time. And so it forced all of these cuts within our city and our fire stations and apparatus and all of that. And so you think about that. It took 15 years to that we're fully back. And yesterday, a big celebration for the, I think this is Philadelphia doing things right as far as making it a focus. And it's under the Sherelle Parker administration, you know, that she, under her administration, can say she's the one under her guidance, although I think they had hoped and planned on this, but they reactivated Engine Company 6 in Port Richmond, and everybody was there, and it was a lot of applause. The community thrilled about it. Mayor Sherelle Parker, they're all dressed in her blue and cutting the ribbon and very excited, talking about how important this is. It's symbolic, if you will, but reconnecting Engine 6 with the community that it serves. And I remember at the time they had said, well, you know, the budget, it's only a fire company where they're more storage related. Mm-hmm. But the reason that something like that is critical, and think about, you know, if you look at the planning, the management that we're talking about for LA, you have to have a place to store the huge apparatus.
Sure.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely, yes.
And so for Mayor Parker, you know, she gets that. She was there to celebrate. I just think it was a great moment. Okay. Not that at the time it was Mayor Michael Nutter at the time. And I know that it was a devastating time financially.
Okay.
But we've brought back our fire department. They continue to hire. And by the way, I believe our hiring window for Philadelphia police, I got a text from an officer and they said, please, you know, please let everybody know, because they have windows of opportunity mm-hmm. to apply for a job.
Yeah.
Right now, Philadelphia police, we're still trying to restore those numbers that we've been taught, you know, we've talked about.
Yep.
So we got that going on. And other headlines this morning, one big one is Center City, not just the Center City Macy's, I believe 66 Macy's across the country announcing, and this has to do with the sign of the times, Amazon, that sort of thing, a change in how we buy and malls closing down. But the Macy's in Center City in the iconic Wanamaker building will close in March. We have that confirmation. Also, the Macy's in the Exton Mall, if you're familiar with that one. I know mm-hmm. that's another one that is slated to be shut down. As far as KOP, I think that Macy's survives this cut,
yeah,
to my knowledge. I was trying to look up.
Probably,
you know,
probably does a ton of business.
Yeah. So busy.
My daughters were all distraught. She goes, they got off the bus yesterday. Did you know Macy's is closing? We should go there and get a lot of stuff. Maybe they have good deals. And I said, you have enough skincare product and fragrances. We're not going to Macy's. We just had Christmas.
It's a big sale, Dad.
Don't even think about it. God, is Sephora going to go out of business? God, I hope so.
But think about girls and women. your daughter, Jimmy Kelly, ran in the ring during the commercial break and said, you know, look at moms. They're the planners, right? When you think about the lack of planning.
Mm-hmm.
But think about your daughters at their young age, and think about the natural planning abilities of females, even at a young middle school age, because mm-hmm. they're thinking, my daddy works right at Odyssey World headquarters, which is just, you know, a stone's throw from the Macy's.
Uh-huh. Yeah, they're
There's probably
planning.
A big sale, Dad.
Yeah, they're already planning a sleepover 7 weeks from now. I just want to blow my head off.
I love it. We'll talk about it all. John Fetterman, when will he go to Mar-a-Lago? Meeting with Trump. And so this is a huge headline. Is he making his pals, in the who are the Dems, is he making them crazy? Is he just ahead of the curve? So Pennsylvania Senator John Fetterman, again, making the headlines. And then, boo, number six, Penn State. Our national title dreams dashed, one of the headlines, because it was a Notre Dame field goal that came late in the game. And so Notre Dame, fighting Irish, wins the Orange Bowl. When's the last time we were? So I think the number for Notre Dame was 1988.
That's correct. 1988. Yep. Lou Holtz.
Lou Holtz.
Love Lou Holtz. He got that lisp. He's like 5'2". He's like a little leprechaun. He's a big Trump supporter, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. He came out of the closet politically. You know, he posts all sorts of videos. Yeah. Dr. Lou, they used to call him.
Back in the day, he used to come into the Little McCormick's restaurant when I was at the University of Minnesota mm-hmm. journalism school there.
Yep.
And so he loves milkshakes.
Does he?
So he would come in and get the milkshakes.
Okay.
Especially in game days.
I love a good chocolate
Golden
milkshake
Gophers.
Myself.
Yeah. Yum, yum.
There you go.
So we are sponsored this morning. So much happening, but we're sponsored by the Special Olympics of Pennsylvania. 2025 Philadelphia Polar Plunge is the coolest event in the Philadelphia region. Chill at Citizens Bank Park, February 1st. Make your plan. Make a splash. Support the Special Olympics Pennsylvania athletes at the same time. Just visit phillyplunge.org. Learn more. Sign up today. As far as our forecast, which of course is important because we're hosting a pretty significant game here in Philadelphia on Sunday. So we do have today 37 degrees. It's going to feel like a heat wave. We do have a spattering of the snow. We're expected to only get a dusting of like maybe an inch overnight tonight. And then we're warming up continually. So 37 today. We remain in the high 30s for your tomorrow, for your Saturday. Sun comes out. For Sunday, Eagles 41 degrees. So it really will. 40 is going to feel good. 41 Sunday and Monday. But Eagles play. We play 4:30 in the afternoon on Sunday, wild card round of the NFL playoffs.
5-point favorites now. 5 points.
Woohoo! Hosting the Packers. Are we going to give our predictions?
Yep, McCall's on locks coming up 9:50 this morning.
So Saquon, we're banking on Saquon getting her done. I think is this Saquon Barkley's first ever play? Playoff.
No,
like
the Giants. The Giants snuck into the playoffs 2 years
yeah,
ago.
Yeah, it was Daboll's first year, right?
Yeah,
they got in there with the.
Was it their home game?
I don't know.
Or was it in a way?
They got blown out by the Eagles, didn't they?
I think you are right.
Yeah.
Wow.
Just to add in.
But the Giants are retaining Daboll. Is that true?
Yeah.
Yes.
And the GM.
Oh, jeez. Boy. Oh, God.
Yeah. I can't believe that. Yeah, I don't know
I
how they.
Either, but Eagles fans should be rejoicing.
Jeez Louise.
I think the Cowboys are keeping their coach, too. I think McCarthy's staying in Dallas. It's like Christmas came early for Philadelphia. You want to keep these guys that underachieve? That's fine by me.
Did they take pay cuts or something?
No, this isn't radio.
Or television. Hoda Kotb, isn't this her last day? Because they're all taking huge pay cuts in network TV.
Oh, I feel bad for them.
I know. So this is Kale & Company News Live.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. Coming up next, a major victory for biological females and a big L for the Biden administration as they are gone in 10 days. We talk Title IX next on Kale & Company.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer,
SummerSlam. I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Biden's Title IX rewrite has been vacated nationwide. Common sense slowly returning. Thank you, Tennessee AG. And this was, of course, in the U.S. District, Eastern District of Kentucky, Northern Division, where the state of Tennessee went to bat. And you can see the ruling on YouTube. Nice work, Phil. This is up against the Secretary of Education, Miguel Cardona, who is obviously a part of the Biden administration, and really a big victory for women. And one of the things I hate about this is when somebody tries to, if you're a common sense parent or a father, a mother, whatever it is, or even you don't have kids, and you're like, you know what? I do not want biological men competing in women's sports. I don't want them in bathrooms. I don't want them in locker rooms. And they sit there and say, well, how frequently does this really happen? And then we get some of the stats and it's only 9 cases or it's only 9,000 individuals that are doing this. And we see at the college level with the NCAA, there are some numbers out there of how many truly transgender athletes that are biological males are competing in female sports. I just counter back with that and say, one's too many. Why does a biological female have to feel uncomfortable? Why does a biological female have to be exposed in a locker room setting where a man can see her? Or why does the girl have to see male genitalia in what is supposed to be a safe space? Why does a female have to lose a scholarship to a male when we created a separation of men's and women's sports? Why does a female have to finish in third place because the biological male came in second place? As a father with twin daughters, now I'm pretty fortunate from the standpoint, my girls only do dance. And it's not really like my girls are competing in volleyball or basketball or swimming like Riley Gaines, where there's physical advantages that the guy has over the female. There's been a few boys, especially in my daughter's Tennessee dance academy or school that they went to. There was a couple of boys, but they were older. Mm-hmm. And they didn't change together or anything like that. And my wife and daughters, they traveled from, Nashville to Knoxville to Pigeon Forge. They did competitions in Alabama. So they travel. And there was times, in a group or a category of 18 dancers, there was a dude and the dude was really good. But I that never really bothered me. But it would truly bother me if my daughter lost out in a physical competition to, like, you know, in a swimming setting, Leah Thomas versus Riley Gaines, Leah Thomas versus Paula Scanlon here in Philadelphia. And God forbid, if they were actually in a physical sport where they became injured, which is what we've seen in a few settings like volleyball. I think there was a lacrosse or maybe a soccer injury. So I thought this was really a big victory yesterday for women, for common sense. And that's the theme here. Returning to common sense in America with Trump, with our guy up in Canada yesterday as he's snapping through the apple. He's like, what do you mean left or right?
Oh,
it's common sense.
He gave a press conference yesterday. That was pretty good.
Awesome.
Love that dude.
In a couple minutes.
I love that guy. Dawn, your thoughts yesterday, because I know we've had Riley Gaines on this station and on multiple shows.
Paula Scanlon as well.
Yep.
Who Paula Scanlon was a swimmer at UPenn, right, with Leah Thomas and exposed as somebody who, you know, they don't talk about this, but Paula Scanlon as a young woman, 19 years old, had been an assault victim, a survivor of a sex assault situation, and then had to face this big 6'2", 6'3" biological male with all the full apparatus in the locker room.
Mm-hmm.
So this is, I know, and Paula and Riley became friends. I'm so thankful that this Kentucky judge, this federal judge, did the right thing. But I will point out that there were, 24 that Biden, when those changes happened in August with his Title IX, because this ruling is the interpretation, right, of Biden's, what he did with Title IX, but only 24 states actually were able to implement it. And that's because the other states had Republican attorneys general. They immediately, filed and were waiting for this very ruling, which we know because Trump told us when we talked to him on day one, Trump was going to reinterpret Title IX to be correct.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, again, where it matters. Leadership matters.
Mm-hmm.
And so because of those 24 attorneys general across the country, that they were able to at least hold off things being implemented this summer and this fall when the school year started.
Yep. Let me play you this. Phil, this is K2 in regards to Title IX and protecting females. This was on Dan Dockich's show on Outkick with Alabama Republican Tommy Tuberville. He used to be the old Auburn football coach back in the 90s and 2000s. He's now in politics, and he has put together a bill to block transgender athletes from women's sports. Here's how this conversation sounded. Clip K2.
Silly that you got to do it, Bill. It's called the Protection of Women and Girls Sports Act. We're basically, well, not basically, you're saying gender-based solely on a person's reproductive biology and genetics at birth. And if you don't adhere to that, you're going to cut funding to schools. That seems like the smartest bill, yet the dumbest bill. It's dumb because you got to do it, right?
Yeah. It's just a shame what's happened up here over the last 4 years. It's been an attack on gender. It's been really an attack on women, all women, because they don't like women. They like, everybody to think when they're born that you're not a woman, you're actually a man in women's clothing. And so when I first got here, my first bill I put on the floor that I actually got a vote on was the Protection of Women and Girls in Sports Act. In other words, keep men out of women's sports. It's unsafe and it's not fair. And people are going to be denied opportunities, especially young girls coming up, dressing in dressing room, men and boys and girls the same. I mean, that ain't going to happen. Okay.
So that was 2 days ago on Wednesday, and this will set up a vote on Tuberville's bill in the weeks ahead. This legislation, which was dubbed the Protection of Women and Girls in Sports Act, would actually fall under the Title IX protections for female athletes that gender is, quote, recognized based solely on a person's reproductive biology and genetics at birth. It would ban recipients of federal funding from operating, sponsoring, or facilitating athletic programs that permit a transgender female athlete to participate in a women's sporting event. John Thune asked that the bill be placed on the calendar under Rule 14, but did not say when the Senate would vote on the upcoming legislation. So that'll be something to keep an eye on in the coming weeks ahead. And of course, you know, it's going to create this whole firestorm of, well, you're transphobic and you're homophobic. And it's just, and I love the fact that Dockett said, you know, this is smart, but it's stupid. It's really stupid. All of these left-wing ideas and these policies and these ideological positions that are supported by under 10% of Americans that have been tried to, you know, basically forced upon you. And when I say forced upon you, it's if you don't agree with it, it's immediately you're racist, you're homophobic, you're transphobic. It's not, it's common sense. That's why we created Title IX. It's the same thing with the DEI nonsense. Let's get back to merit-based decision making. All of these policies, and you're seeing it play out, and a lot of it permeates from the left coast, right? Everything that they touch, it works its way east. You know, Chicago adopts it, New York does it, you know, Philadelphia will try it to an extent, and it's pretty much categorically rejected. And we saw it here specifically. You talked about Sherelle in the 7 o'clock news. How did we reject it in Philly? By Democrats not selecting Helen Gimm.
Thank God.
Can you imagine what that would have been like?
And to your point, your earlier point, you know, the federal judge Danny Reeves of the Eastern District there of Kentucky with this 15-page opinion. Here's the quote. Throwing gender identity into the mix eviscerates the statute of Title IX and renders it largely meaningless. Mm-hmm. In other words, the whole point was to protect and support women and girls in sports.
Yep.
Boom.
There you go. 855-839-1210. If you want to jump in, it is 7:45 on the dot.
What?
And we are, and this is breaking news.
Breaking news.
This is breaking news.
Breaking news.
Cut Sheet Friday, exactly on time.
What?
I got called on the carpet.
On
not
the cut sheet.
I got called on the carpet on for not, pushing the cut sheet back later and later and later.
Uh-oh.
So. 7:45. What's on the cut sheet on this Friday? Brought to you by the NAC, the Newtown Athletic Club. That's right, we will be there Monday, January 20th for Inauguration Day, starting at 6 a.m. Hale & Company, the Dawn Stensland Show, the Dom Giordano Show. We will all be there Monday, January 20th for Inauguration Day. We'll have big screen TVs, so you won't miss any of the... you won't miss any of the festivities. Plus, you can hang out with a bunch of like-minded people, and it'll be a fun time. And, let's everybody come out. I'm asking everybody right now, come out. The Newtown Athletic Club, it's go time for your fitness at the Newtown Athletic Club or the NAC in Bucks County. The NAC offers a variety of family-friendly gym memberships to accommodate each stage of your life, from youth to active aging, young families to empty nesters. Schedule a visit. Go to NewtownAthletic.com. That's NewtownAthletic.com. Please make sure you join us. Because like I said, they said the other day, they're like, 7:30, 7:45? What time do you think? Yeah. What time do you think your listeners will start coming? I said, they're going to be camped out there, and they'll be there before we are. By the way, before I get to any of this, breaking news, guys. So this just came down on Twitter. Phil, if you want to put it up. That is Sean Farish.
Oh, no.
The president of the United States of America.
Oh, jeez.
101 COVID?
He tweeted that out about 30 minutes ago.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what that means for us. We haven't heard from him. So maybe he's going to try and drink some fluids, come on as the president-elect. But I'm not sure.
Should I text him?
101.3. Mr. Farish, as somebody who's been there over the last couple of days, I feel for you.
Yep.
And I would not have had the stones to come on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
So if you do, you're a better man than I. But yeah, I'm sure you're a better man than I. So will Sean join us in about 45 minutes?
I just texted him.
We will see.
Oh, and if he declines to come on and says he doesn't feel well, then after he says no, I will rip him for posting a picture of his fever.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
He's got the fever.
Yeah. Because, as you know, when you test positive for COVID...
He didn't... No. Hang on. He did not say COVID.
I know.
He said the flu.
The flu, COVID, you don't need to let your followers know that you're sick.
But I think that COVID would be better than the COVID's usually that 100, that weird 100.4 or
well,
100,
remember
that?
That's where I was for 5 days, like around 100.7.
Yep.
So this one, like, he has the chills. I hope he doesn't have, I mean, the flu is, I think, way worse than COVID.
My wife yesterday took off of work. She goes, I'm just feeling off.
Oh, no.
And I was like, you're getting it. Because I had whatever. I don't know what I had. I don't test for anything. I just, you know, suck it up and, you know, lay in bed and cry like a baby. And then my daughter's had fevers, but she has something. And she's like, I don't think it's really anything. I just feel off.
Road Warrior asked, speaking of the NAC, Road Warrior asked if there is going to be food at the NAC. I believe there is. I believe there's going to be food and drinks. So, but, you know, you can always pack your own.
Well, do they have, like,
No, that is an accommodating group. FA? So yeah. I'm sure that they will pull out all the stops for 1210
WPHT.
Okay, let's start with this since we never got to this. Nick, are you cool if we do the Carter funeral?
I am cool with anything. And Sean Ferris has said, yes, he is still good to come on.
What a trooper.
Oh, man, he is.
We love you.
He says he's pumped full of meds and coffee. This is going to be epic.
Oh, man. I would, if you're, like, driving to work or you have to be somewhere at 8:30, I would stay in your car.
Yes.
Because this is going to be, he's going to be all pilled up.
Little loopy president
popped up on meds. All right, let's play the video that everybody is discussing. I believe this is what you were talking about, Nick Hale. This is Donald Trump and Obama at the Jimmy Carter funeral, yucking it up. Roll it.
There he is, talking. Obama grins, then he starts to laugh, bobbing his head. Now Trump gets close to the ear. Laura Bush is scratching her ear. George Bush looks like he's cream. I don't know what happened to George Bush. He's gained about 30 pounds. Kamala looks back. Oh, my God. Dougie, can you believe this? Barack and Trump are talking. How did I not beat him? They set me up for failure because I'm a woman. Obama's like, yeah. Can you believe that? We tried to call you Hitler, bro. I don't really think you're Hitler. We just wanted to beat you. You can't come into our playground. We've told you that. Tried to indict you. But I can dodge bullets. By the way, Melania looks like she's dressed like a pilgrim. What's going on over there? You notice that?
You know what? You took the... Like, yesterday, that was... I said on the air, because, like, I usually love her fashion, but this is a very different... Fashion. I know.
Yeah. Everything about her.
I'm, like, obsessed with Melania Trump.
It's really kind of disturbing.
Can we freeze the end of that there with just the visual? Because Melania is like, it looks like, and I always say this, and this is almost a verbatim statement from me. Every time all of the former presidents and their wives get together, the first ladies, she always just, and it's not a knock on her, but she looks very uncomfortable. I don't think she enjoys these settings. She doesn't, you know, she doesn't feel like she's a part of the club, right? And maybe that's because, you know, she gets the vibes that, you know, everybody there hates her husband. I don't know what it is, but she would probably rather be in 40,000 different venues than being around all these politicians.
Well, in the front row, the individuals, you know, who basically made sure that her private home and her closet and her underwear drawer were raided in Mar-a-Lago.
Oh, I get it. I understand it. I don't want to be around any of those politicians either.
And then to the side, I mean, there's Hillary Clinton, Russia, 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 steel dossier.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So, she's like...
So let's break this down. Joe looks like he's in a trance. Get over to YouTube, by the way.
Joe came in late, by the way. Remember that?
Yep. Fell asleep.
He took a nap mid-service.
Yep.
You know, I've been known to do that as well. I can't knock the guy. Dr. Jill is, I don't know, she looks about as stiff as a pencil right there. Kamala looks like a scorned lover. Dougie wanted to be the first gentleman. His gig is up, so he'll get back to, you know, chastising women in his L.A. law office. And then you got Dead and Deader in the back left corner with Bill and Hillary. By the way, did you see the video when Kamala comes walking in with Doug? They had a video of Bill Clinton, and his head just keeps moving and following. And he's like checking out Kamala.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, Bill's still ready to go.
She's got kind of a nice booty.
Yeah. Just going to say.
But he didn't, Clinton, didn't he call Melania hot at one point
he
or
did.
Something?
Mm-hmm.
So,
he did. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
And then there was that, I don't know if he actually ever spoke to Ivanka, but there was that Saturday Night Live bit.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
That where he was like, hey, Ivanka.
Yep.
Now, do you think the seating, obviously up front, you've got the current president and first lady, the vice president. Do you think the seating was set up for Trump and Obama to be next to each other? Because even if Michelle was there, Michelle would probably be between Laura and Barack. But apparently Michelle Obama had a vacation, according to reports, that she was in Hawaii.
Nick, she released her... Because people were noting it, so if you look at the timing, her spokesperson released a statement that Michelle, and she didn't even, the statement didn't really mention Carter, but like sort of gave this, celebrating the life and the great things about the then president. But, you know, she's taking an extended holiday vacation.
Yes.
She's staying in Hawaii.
Mm. Why is she always vacationing without her husband?
Mm-hmm.
Why? And
everybody notice that?
And also... Like, for an event like this, where it's, you know, it's a former president, you know, I feel like maybe cut the Hawaii. I mean, it's not like they can't afford a private jet to take her to this funeral and then fly her right back.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you do this.
I mean, I could see Michelle Obama, you know, one day down the road when Trump passes away, not showing up for Trump's funeral, right? She probably hates his guts. But this is Jimmy Carter, a 100-year-old Democrat,
you know. I said this earlier, and I'm standing by it, that if Michelle was at this funeral with Barack, Trump and Obama would not have been chummy-chummy.
Mm.
Well, I think that Trump and Obama would have sat next to each other.
Yep.
I think that Michelle's absence, okay, maybe she had work done. Because it was over the holidays, nice little plastic surgery period. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And if she did, and even though Carter died, you know, it quite frankly, did she have plenty of time? Perhaps not. If she had a little procedure and can't be seen.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Or is there trouble in paradise between Michelle and Barack?
It's interesting. The front, you know, Nick, you mentioned the front row being, you know, the current president, vice president. That's the one-timers club.
Mm-hmm.
The back row there is the two-timers club with Trump, Obama.
Good point.
GW and Bill Clinton.
And then in the third row, you've got Al Gore and Mike Pence.
The wannabe row.
The wannabe row.
By the way, I don't have the video, but if you notice, Trump and Melania come in, shake Al Gore's hand, shake Mike Pence's hand. And Karen Pence.
Giving the glare.
Yeah. Well, it's nothing to do with either of them.
The death glare.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I will say this about as far as Trump and Obama, I think that was important because, you know, and it was Michelle Obama who gave that incredible speech at the DNC. She was praised even to have a better speech than her husband. But, you know, there were people on social media and even on the networks, on the conservative networks going, oh, look, Obama. Having fun with Hitler, you know, Mr. Evil. It just shows how disingenuous they were. But I think also the fact that Obama is a business guy. He's smart. He's sucking up to Trump now. And it's like kissing the ring once again.
I've got this funeral summary that was written, and it says, if ever there was a gathering to prove that politics is naught but the theater of the absurd, Jimmy Carter's funeral surely did the job. There was Karen Pence, stiff as a picket fence, and twice as cold, acting as though Donald and Melania Trump were invisible. Or maybe she just wished they were. George W. Bush, with the mindset of a schoolboy, jabbed Barack Obama in the gut, prompting laughter from both Obama and Trump. An alliance of giggles I reckon nobody saw coming. Kamala Harris and Jill Biden sat as silent as tombstones, their tongues tied by choice or circumstance, while Joe Biden himself drifted off into a nap. That seemed as deep as the occasion was solemn. Hillary Clinton looked like she swallowed a lemon whole, her face drawn tight in a way that suggested the only thing heavier than her grief was her patience. And then there was Melania Trump, her eyes scanning the room as though she stumbled into the wrong play and was wondering how on earth she got cast into this one. Altogether, it was a scene ripe for the pen of a humorist, if not a tragedy, a motley assembly of America's political high and mighty, proving once again that in this great republic of ours, even in moments of mourning, there's always room for a little farce.
I think it just shows, though, to be very honest, it shows the power of Trump and this victory and how big it is and how the Democrats are in complete and utter disarray.
It shows me none of that.
They hate each other.
It shows me that politics is professional wrestling, and anybody who buys into either side as the end of this, the end of that, this will be the end of this, that shows you what they really think of each other.
You know what's actually amazing about this, to both of your points, is I get the sense that Kamala and Joe and a few of the people in the front row, they hate each other more than they actually might hate Trump.
Yeah.
Is that possible?
There wasn't a lot of pleasant greetings.
There was nothing. Yeah. And CNN commented on it when they were playing the live video of them coming in.
Yep.
I forget. It might have been Tapper, or that might have been too late in the afternoon. Maybe it was King. Somebody in the midday, roughly, on CNN was like, well, that was kind of a very cold exchange, not the warmest greeting we've ever seen.
By the way, streaming live on YouTube, youtube.com/@1210WPHD. If you're watching right now, please hit the subscribe button if you haven't done so, and hit the like button. Also, if you're listening on the Odyssey app, please hit the follow button on 1210WPHD. It's all free. It costs you nothing. It takes you literally a millisecond, but it helps us tremendously. Trump addressed his conversation with Barack Obama, because he gave a kind of a impromptu press conference last night at Mar-a-Lago. Mm-hmm. This is cut 17. We'll go through some of the stuff he said yesterday, or last night, excuse me. But let's start with his conversation with Barack Obama.
Off the top, you mentioned the Carter funeral today. What were you talking to Barack Obama about?
It did look very friendly, I must say. I didn't realize it, how friendly it looked. I saw it on your wonderful network just a little while ago before I came in, and I said, boy, they look like two people that like each other, and we probably do. We have little different philosophies, right? But we probably do. I don't know, we just got along. But I got along with just about everybody on that. We met backstage, as you know, before we went on, and I thought it was a beautiful service, but we all got along very well, which is good.
In California.
Yeah, so Obama and Trump, we probably have a lot in common. We're probably now all of a sudden maybe we can get a golf match. Trump and Obama together on the golf course.
Yeah,
break the internet. Everybody's heads will explode. Those that despise Obama will, I can't believe my pre-. And then those that hate Trump, he's hanging with Hitler.
But I think it was an important moment that everybody has to notice. That the guy who chooses to sit next to Trump is the most popular, right? Hillary Clinton, not popular. Bill Clinton, not like, look at the, if it's a popularity situation.
Yeah.
Biden, loser.
Yep.
Kamala Harris, loser. And so Obama, though, very extremely popular.
He's the Messiah.
Yes.
He's been running the country. So, you know, what did we say? It was Obama's third term.
So the fact that he is not just sitting next to Trump, he chooses to sit next to the president-elect, and he chooses to sit there in a very friendly, chummy, back and forth. Obviously, I would love to know what Trump said, and I know Peter Doocy asked it, but I mean, you know, Trump was saying things. He was making Obama like LOL. He was laughing. He was laughing and they were giggling. And Obama clearly enjoying that back and forth. And so I will say this. It's a unifying moment. I everybody saw it. It was very public.
Is it?
They're both,
do you really think
yes,
it is?
I do.
Because what? It's a unifying.
It ends the whole ridiculous MAGA thing that happened here in Philadelphia that we talked. That's over.
Wait,
the whole dictator, evil, Satan.
Maybe for
crud.
Obama, but you think
the
Democrat...
Yeah, but Obama's the man right now. You know what I mean?
But do you think the Democrat Party all of a sudden is going to take the foot off the gas with the vilification of Donald Trump?
As far as that whole narrative, it's gone.
Oh,
Obama erased it with that moment.
I would like
it. It showed to me how phony politics is.
To Greg's point, I mean, if Obama really thought that Trump, his policies, that he's an evil dictator. He's Hitler.
Well, to be fair, too.
He never thought that.
To be fair, too, Trump went on a thing about 12 years ago about how Obama wasn't from this country and he was Muslim and he was this, that, and the other.
He's
out there yucking it up with him, too. So the pendulum swings both ways.
Oh, yeah, cuts both ways for sure.
Absolutely.
But I mean, to think that, like, you know, I'll just rattle off a bunch of Democrats right now. Liz Warren, Jasmine Crockett, Gretchen Whitmer, whoever you want to talk about.
All losers. You're all losers.
But do you think that they're all of a sudden going to change? Or let's say, what was the phrase that everybody was using after Butler, PA, and the attempted assassination? Dial back the temperature or tone down the rhetoric. I just don't see that coming from, because this is where I agree with Greg. If, you know, now it's a losing endeavor, but they're going to continue to double down with all the rhetoric and the fear mongering and all of that. It's not going to work for them. I mean, again, you know, they'd be better off taking the Fetterman approach. I just don't see Democrats, like, unless Obama gave, you know, unless he would give the edict, right? Unless Obama sends out the mass DNC email and says, no more Hitler stuff. Let's get back to focusing on what we can do to win elections and stop calling Trump, a third world dictator. Unless that came down, I don't see it changing.
Let's do more from Trump from his press conference. What about the wildfires? This is cut 19 and Governor Gavin Newsom's response to it. Cut 19, go.
What specifically do you think Gavin Newsom and Karen Bass could have done differently to prepare for this $50 billion fire?
You know, we have great governors in this room. And if you look at the way their states, I think I can say without exception, anybody doing poorly in here?
I don't think so.
I mean, without exception, we have great governors here that have done a great job with their states. And I don't think, and you'll probably, if there's a weak link, you're going to find it and you're going to be asking the next question of that person. Gavin Newsom had an opportunity to have millions of gallons a week, a day, millions and millions of gallons come down from the north. And I was able to get him federal approval from that, from the Department of Commerce, of all departments. I didn't realize it would go through Commerce. I would have thought Environmental, but it goes through Commerce. I got all of the approvals, and he said, I don't want to sign it. I don't want the water. We don't need the water. I said, you need the water. Your reservoirs are empty. The whole place. You need the water. That was 5 years ago. And I had it all done. The work was all done. We sent it to him. He refused to sign it. And if you notice yesterday, the hydrants were empty. They didn't have any water, many of them. They said 20%, but now I just heard 50%, and now none of them have water, and that fire is still raging. When he turned that down, I was going to give him unlimited water. It would come down. It really comes down from the north, way up north, including parts of Canada. It's so much water that they wouldn't know what to do with. Just the opposite would have happened. And that's the reason that this happened. He wouldn't do what we wanted. And we're going to force that upon him now. But it's very late, because I think it's one of the great catastrophes in the history of our nation. This is not just in Los Angeles. I've never seen anything like that, devastation. And we're talking about homes that cost $200, $300, $400 million. Nobody's ever seen anything like it. People that, and very influential people worldwide. I don't know that they ever go back either, because, you know, they weren't happy with California. They weren't happy with Gavin Newsom. They weren't happy with their whole lifestyle there, with the crime being out of control, all the other problems. They were not happy. And it's going to be very interesting to see whether or not they're going to build, or whether somebody else is going to build and build a much lesser home. These were the most expensive homes outside of Palm Beach County. I see a list outside of Palm Beach. These were the most expensive homes anywhere in the world.
So three takeaways here. Number one, when the man, here's the lesson to be learned. When the man who hates water because he loves Diet Coke and never drinks water says you need water, you should probably listen to him, Gavin Newsom. Was it Rogan or Dana White said, I've never seen Trump drink water in his life. He doesn't drink water. All he does is drink Diet Coke.
Yeah.
Just, you know, water is like, it's like nature's juice. You probably need it. Mm-hmm. Number two, it's really indefensible for Gavin Newsom and Karen Bass, who they're not newbies to the state of California, right? To reiterate a point that Schellenberger made, these are people that have known the risk reward of this in that state with what they deal with from nature for a very, very long time. And then lastly, I would say, when we're talking about all of the things that they got wrong, they catered to like a fringe group. Was it Native Americans, I believe, that wanted to preserve the smelt fish?
Yep.
Like, again, so you want to save a little sardine. And now, and here's the thing, and this is kind of the luxury that these people, Trump talking about the property values, the second highest except for Palm Beach in Florida. These, I actually think there's a lot of these, now it doesn't mean they're going to change their political views and vote Republican, but those that have the ability, those Hollywood A-listers to relocate, they've got the means to leave. You know, they can go to Austin, Texas, or Nashville, or Florida.
Yep. We played this earlier, and I'm going to play it again. We played it at like 6:40, but for those of you who tuned in late, first of all, where have you been?
We started 6 a.m.!
But Gavin Newsom was, but we'll get back to the Trump press conference in a second, but since we're talking about Gavin Newsom, he was confronted yesterday on the street by a constituent who is not happy with him, with his response to what's happening in California, in Los Angeles. He lied to her right off the bat and said, I'm on the phone right now with the president. And then when press, he says, well, I tried to get through, but you know. Can you hear me now? Roll it.
Governor, you got a second? Governor, I live here, Governor. That was my daughter's school, Governor. Please tell me what you're going to do. I'm not going to hurt him, I promise.
Literally talking to the president right now.
Literally.
To specifically answer the question.
Literally.
What we can do for you and your daughter.
Literally.
Can I hear it?
Because I don't believe it.
I'm sorry. There's literally... I've tried 5 times. That's why I'm walking around to make the
why
call.
Why is the president not taking your call?
Lying. Because it's not a scumbag.
Why? I have to get cell service.
So let's get it. Let's get it. I want to be here when you call the president.
I want to get in your SUV.
I'm doing that right now. And it's to immediately get reimbursements, individual assistance, and to help you. I'm devastated for you. I'm so sorry. Especially for your daughter. I have 4 kids. Losing
everyone.
The school.
Who went to school there, they lost their homes. They lost 2 homes because they were living in one and building another. Governor, please tell me, what are you going to do with the president right now?
We're getting the resources to help rebuild.
Why was there no water in the hydrants, Governor?
That's all literally.
Is it going to be different next time?
It has to be. It has to be. Of course.
What are you going to do?
Fill
the hydrants. I would fill them up personally. You know that. I would fill up the hydrants myself.
I understand.
But would you do that?
I would do whatever I can.
But you're not! I see the... Do you know there's water dripping over there, Governor? There's water coming out there. You can use it.
I appreciate it. I'm going to make the call to address everything I can right now, including making sure people
are
safe.
I'd like to make sure you do. Can I have an opportunity to at least tell people you're doing what you're saying you're doing?
Thank you.
Could somebody have a contact? Can I have your contact information?
Right there.
Hi, Chipotle. Sorry I was interrupted. I'd like to continue placing my to-go order. That was no guac on that bowl, by the way.
She's California mom, Rachel Darvish. She's not... The thing about it is, she's so authentic. I mean, even when she's talking to him, and at one point, her hands are clasped together as if praying.
Yeah.
You know, and
kids'
pleading.
Kids' lives have been destroyed.
Yes. Yeah. And so... And the questions that she's asking are better than any news reporter in any of these news conferences.
Mm-hmm. I tell you what, Sky News has done a tremendous job of coverage with this. From the Karen Bass interview where she's standing in the terminal and that guy was just hitting her with question after question when she was silent.
Yeah, and by the way, speaking of somebody who cannot plan, so she comes back, think about this, she's in Ghana with some president she's never met. It was a free vacation. It's a junket, basically. And she's on a plane trip for 17 and a half hours.
Oh, that's brutal.
17 and a half hours. And you don't ever, like, the lack of planning, like, just completely, look at the another example of it. You don't think in that 17 and a half hours, boy, I better prepare for some tough questions. Because they're going to be asking me, you know, why would I leave when I had been warned that these high winds and that the fire risk and da 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 da. I'm sure I'm going to face some time. I better prepare something to say.
Yeah, she was binge watching Netflix on the flight.
Sleep at the wheel.
Just awful.
So there's been a lot of discussion, especially on the local Los Angeles news about the water situation. And I think it was Rick Caruso, who is like he's a businessman, and I think he's on the board of trustees for the University of Southern California. He's a big deal in in Southern California. He's the one who started raising the alarms on the fact that there's literally no water in any of these hydrants. So the local news reported it, but then had to make a little disclaimer. Like, this is the epitome of fake news.
Okay.
They reported it, but then they had a little disclaimer. There's no proof that any of that is true. Literally moments later, after this reporter says this, there's a reporter on the scene who basically said, "I just talked to the fire chief who said there's no water."
Okay.
It's amazing. It's amazing, like, this juxtaposition of, well, we don't know if that's true or not, to a reporter saying, "No, I just talked to somebody and it's 100% true."
You just can't hate the media enough.
This really, if there's a reason why it's something like this, this is cut 8, Phil, if you have a go.
Former LA mayoral candidate and real estate developer Rick Caruso criticizing the city's response to the windstorm and fires. He says officials should have been more prepared.
The real issue to me is twofold. We've had decades to go remove the brush in these hills that spread so quickly. And the second is, you've got to have water. And my understanding is the reservoir was not refilled in time and in a timely manner to keep the hydrants going. So that's a failure, whether on DWP's part or another city agency. But this is basic stuff. This isn't high science here. And it's all about leadership and management that we're seeing a failure of. And all of these residents are paying the ultimate price for that.
Yes. Despite what you have heard from Caruso, no firefighters have told us that they are running out of water.
Okay.
Watch.
And let's go out to Gigi Graciette. She is live in Pacific Palisades. I know your signal's not the best, but Gigi, what can you tell us?
Well, firefighters have told me they have no water in this block, and you may be able to make out the ember storm that we're in the middle of right
now. Amazing.
This is really going to be a total loss.
Same newscast.
Inferno.
Water to put on this
seconds
fire.
Apart.
They are
seconds
standing
apart.
By because they're trying to stave the home that is next to it.
You know, before we go back to the media for a second, I don't know the answer. I'm asking the question. Why would the brush not be removed? I mean, you know, when you look at some of these areas, where is it? Does it create more of like privacy and seclusion in some of these areas? I'd love to know why, because I would presume, unless it's a very dangerous cliff or something like that. But even with that, they have, you know, machinery and people that are, you know, willing to strap themselves up and protect them and dangle over and remove these types of things. This seems like a not totally preventable, but man, they could have mitigated their damages in many different ways. And it just seems like a dereliction of duty across the board. Like, they were legitimately asleep at the wheel for this.
Yeah.
By the way, speaking of the media, we're being ripped. Greg and I, that is.
Of course.
Dan Boy says, yesterday, RE, you and Greg mocking Muir and his attire at fires. Dislike Muir, how he chooses to portray the news. He's a smacked ass. But you and Greg sounded like a couple of young girls calling attention to vanity, clothespins, etc. If you're a man, get him on something else. I don't know what that means. If you're a man, get him on something
else. Well, he would, I mean, and I did say this yesterday, that I can't even look at him because of the way here in Philadelphia, that so-called debate, where he just, I mean, that was horrible what ABC and David Muir, who's, you know, did to Trump. It was awful.
I agree.
It was terrible.
But sounding like a couple of young girls calling attention to vanity, the guy went out of his way to put, whether he did it, whether he was knowingly doing it, whether it was, like Dawn, you said, you know, his crew. I mean, my God, like, do you really, like, this is, again, like, same thing I said earlier with Gavin Newsom. Like, dude, why don't you just roll up your sleeves and get out there and look like a normal human? I mean, you're not in the studio.
Yeah.
I just think, here's the thing, like, Bill Malugin, you know, you look at him, he was anchoring over the weekend. To me, Bill Malugin is a future like superstar. The guy is just a hardworking, real reporter.
He did great work at
you
the
know?
Border.
He did at
years.
The border, and yeah. Now you know he's breaking news with this story too.
Yeah.
I, you know, so this ABC, they're a hot mess. I mean, they're imploding with George Stephanopoulos, the lawsuit they lost, what he did with Trump, Nancy May. I mean, I think ABC and the complicit media, they're the losers, too, in what has happened now.
Let's go back to the Trump press conference yesterday in Mar-a-Lago. He talked about drones. Remember the drones?
Yeah.
And will we ever find out what exactly those drones were? This has got 16. Go.
A story that kind of disappeared at a very suddenly. Do you have any idea what ever happened to the drones?
What happened to drones?
Well, you said that you knew you thought the government knew what was happening with these drones over New Jersey. There were some by Bedminster.
I don't know. They're over Bedminster a lot, so I can imagine. I'm going to give you a report on drones about one day into the administration, because I think it's ridiculous that they're not telling you about what's going on with the drones. And it's not only with me. Glenn was telling me today that in Virginia they have drones all over the place, too, and nobody's reporting it. I don't know why they're not. Do you want to say something about
that? Just one quick comment, which is we are home to the largest naval base in the world in Quantico, and we have a lot of the SEAL teams and have a huge national security infrastructure. And now for 2 years running, we have had drone incursion over secure airspace, and we still don't know why. And I think that's absolutely unacceptable. And I think President Trump and the new leadership coming in, I think will work diligently to understand who's behind this and what we do in order to stop the digital surveillance of all of our secure infrastructure.
Danger?
Well, I can tell you this. While we were dealing with a terrorist attack in New Orleans, we had drones being flown over our nuclear reactors in Louisiana. And we brought that attention to the FAA. We've been asking the FAA to give these states the ability to mitigate these drones. And it's sitting on some bureaucrat's desk. And that's real.
Governor
Nobody
Jeff
knows.
Landon.
They don't want to talk about it. Go ahead, Governor. You're going to say?
I was just going to say we have drones in Wyoming flying over our infrastructure as well. And it's incredibly frustrating that we not only have no way of knowing what it is, but nobody knows how to deal with it.
Mark Gordon.
They don't want to talk about it, and nobody knows why. They don't want to talk about it. That could be us sending drones. I hope that's the case, us doing it and doing research, and maybe they don't want to talk about it from that standpoint. I hope it's not an enemy, but we're going to find out on the 21st. The day after, you have to give me a little time for the inauguration, but shortly thereafter, we'll give you a report on it. We'll tell you exactly what it is. They know, and it's very strange that they aren't talking about it.
It's also very strange that the story has just completely vanished.
Yeah,
you know?
Agreed.
It's just everybody in lockstep. This is a non-story. It doesn't exist. Let's move on to something else.
Agreed.
Interesting that to Trump's right in the meeting with all the Republican GOP governors, to his right, Virginia Governor Glenn Youngkin, to his left, you heard Louisiana Governor Jeff Landry.
What about the Greenland purchase? This is what he said on that. Cut 21, Phil.
Don Jr. and some of your team just got back from Greenland.
Stop it.
What's
for a
the
second.
Price tag? Yeah.
Stop for a second.
Yep.
Well, is Peter Ducey the only one asking questions here?
He was chosen as the pool reporter.
Okay.
Okay.
Shocking.
That's why.
Yeah. Shocking that he's the guy. all right, roll it.
Deuce, man. Sick.
You know, look, we're going to have to see what happens because Denmark, we need this for national security. We need Greenland very badly. You look at the Russian ships, the China ships, they're all over the place. They're, you know, surrounding. Now, they have for a long time. That's a lane. But we need that for national security. So I don't know that Denmark has any right title and interest, and we're going to find that. But I can tell you, you saw the clips that were released. The people of Greenland would love to become a state of the United States of America. We were greeted with tremendous love and affection and respect. The people would like to be a part of the United States. Now, Denmark maybe doesn't like it, but then we can't be too happy with Denmark, and maybe things have to happen with respect to Denmark having to do with tariffs, because they have to do this, I think, for the free world. We need that to protect the free world. It's very important and getting more important every year.
So the question now becomes, is Canada the 51st state and Greenland the 52nd state, or is it the other way around? It looks like Pierre Poilievre's got the inside track to be the 51st governor of the United States of America, but who becomes the governor of Greenland then? I'd like to nominate Sean Farish. And we'll see what Sean Farris says about Greenland coming up in about 10 minutes.
Well, it's funny you mentioned that.
Well, Nicholas. Are you gonna? Do you have Fetterman?
Yeah, that's what I'm doing right now. This is mm-hmm. 24 about John Fetterman joked because he has a meeting coming up. He's going to Mar-a-Lago to meet with Trump
this weekend,
and this is what he had to say. Roll it, Phil.
Only Moses.
Hey, Senator, can we ask you what you hope to get out of your visit to Mar-a-Lago to talk to Donald Trump?
What are we talking about here? Is there some news?
There's some news. We hear that you're going to be heading down to Mar-a-Lago.
Yeah, I've heard that. Yes, I've heard that. Yeah.
What will you be discussing with the president?
Well, yeah, I demand that I need to be made Pope of Greenland.
Pope of Greenland.
Do you have the resume to be Pope?
I'm having a conversation. Like, he's the president. He's going to be. So, you know, I am not the senator for just Democrats in Pennsylvania. I'm everyone's senator in Pennsylvania. And so it's just having a conversation with
there you go.
Sean Fetterman, what a character this guy. Where's the tweet? I got to find this. Duffy Domino sent me a tweet. He says, in response to a Fetterman tweet, but he tags me about 3 minutes ago. He says, I like this. I'm telling you, he's getting ready for 2028 and may not even be a Democrat at that time. Question is, will he be wearing a suit or a hoodie? I bet it's a suit. Maybe you guys should throw up a poll on YouTube. Duffy Domino, I do believe he is going to be a legit option in 2028, but there's no shot in hell he's ever a Republican. We got to stop that. Like, he's going to be a Democrat for life. Now, is he going to slide away? And has he been sliding away from all the progressive crap? Yes.
Yeah.
Because I think that's his goal, is to appeal to more people on a broad spectrum, because he does have. And when people say, no, there's no chance he's going to run. Don't forget. Remember in 2022? After he defeated Oz, it took all of 72 hours for the left-wing media to be mm-hmm. asking the question of whether or not Fetterman is presidential material. The guy didn't even get sworn in as a senator, and they were already rushing ahead to the presidency.
But think about Fetterman. Is he the new Joe Manchin? And that then he becomes, because he's meeting, Trump invited him. He's accepting the invitation. I don't have the exact timing of when it's going to happen this weekend, but it's happening. And that makes Fetterman uniquely powerful. And that's, you know, Manchin's out. I think he is that, the new guy, if you will,
mm-hmm.
and somebody who's attractive to differently minded voters. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like
yep.
a combo of a Joe Manchin, maybe a Bernie. You know what I mean? Getting yeah. those kinds of people.
Mm-hmm.
On Canada becoming the 51st state, Trump was also asked about that. This has got 22, Phil. Go.
You threatened tariffs on Canada a couple weeks ago. Justin Trudeau rushed down here. He wanted to make nice. Now he's on the way out. Is that what you wanted?
I didn't think he was going to quit. He probably saw the numbers. Look, I called him Governor Trudeau because they should be the 51st state, really. It would make a great state. And the people of Canada like it. They pay lower taxes. They have virtually no military. They have a very small military. They pay less than 1%. They're about the lowest payer in NATO. They're supposed to pay much more. They haven't been paying. They have a lot of problems, and I was with Wayne Gretzky. I said, Wayne, would you like to be the governor of Canada? I can't imagine anybody doing any better than Wayne. Wayne was not too interested, but I think he probably would have liked statehood. He's a friend of mine. He's a great guy. He's the great one. We call him the great one, right? He's a great hockey player. But I will say this. I think that there's, you know, it was stated pretty strongly a couple of weeks ago about Canada, and people laughed. And now they're all saying, well, it's very interesting. And I say, from the standpoint of the United States, we're subsidizing Canada $200 and $250 billion a year. We have massive deficits. They've taken about 20% of our car business. I'd rather do it here. We could put tariffs on. We don't have tariffs on them yet, but that will happen. But they've taken about 20% of our car business. I'd rather have it done in Detroit or have it done in South Carolina or any other state that does cars. And we have a lot of them. We don't need Canada for that. We don't need Canada for lumber, because we have big forests that we have you know, not utilized. Where in some cases they're protected, which I can take that protection off. And you take down a tree and you grow a better tree. That's, you know, pretty common. But we don't need anything. We don't need their fuel. We don't need their energy. We don't need their oil and gas. We don't need anything that they have. And I said to Trudeau, I said, why are we subsidizing you $200 and $250 billion a year? He said, I really don't know. And I said, well, I don't know either. I said, what would happen to Canada if we didn't? He said Canada would be obliterated if that happened. I said, then Canada should be a 51st state.
And we don't need their stinking beer either, right?
Exactly.
Molson and Labatt's.
Low-energy beer.
Low-energy beer, indeed.
Look, I know the media keeps talking about these polls, but the truth is, if you think about the European Union and the dollar, and just from a purely, not political, but a purely like business aspect to it,
yep.
I wonder if they did a poll where they just asked Canadians about a financial arrangement that makes us all stronger financially, makes the dollar stronger, that sort of thing.
Well, and that's why I think Pierre's going to be a runaway winner whenever they have their election. Polymarket has him as a 92% favorite. The only guy that could beat him right now is number 99, Wayne Gretzky, the great one. And as you heard, Trump said he's got no interest in any of that. And Pierre's going to win, as you heard in that clip yesterday. You know, he's going to cap spending, budget cuts, all of that, get inflation under control. Hopefully you can have housing and rent and mortgages that are affordable again. And you'll be able to, you know, dunk on the media while you chew on a red delicious apple.
But they have reserves oil, big time oil in Alberta, right? That's their big. Trump's not talking about that. Their oil reserves.
Yeah.
And I think Trump feels that Canada is a key when we talk about North America being energy independent, not just America, but as well. It'd be sweet if we had a deal with our northern neighbors, you know, to help out with that energy independence.
As Al Bundy said in Married with Children, the two biggest scams are the Loch Ness Monster and Canada. He was not wrong. All right, Sean Farish is going to join us from Nashville, Tennessee, coming up next as we continue here in the 8 o'clock hour, which is brought to you by Wawa. Right now, Wawa Rewards members can get a bonus offer of $1 for any size hot coffee, $2 for iced coffee, and $3 for a 16-ounce Monster Energy drink. If you're not a Rewards member, now is the time to join. And speaking of joining, I've joined up with the Piazza Auto Group now for coming up on almost 3 years, and recently just drove the 2025 Hyundai Tucson. It's the winter. You're going to want a vehicle that is dependable. It's the brand's most popular SUV, bold new design with plenty of cargo space. While its standard all-wheel drive and great gas mileage keeps you prepared for any of life's adventures or those weather adventures. We could get a dusting. We could get 10 inches. You never know. The weather people, they're always wrong. Piazza is always right. It also protects you and your family with a best-in-class safety rating. Visit Piazza Hyundai of Pottstown right off of Route 422 or Piazza Hyundai of Westchester on Route 202. Online anytime at PiazzaHyundai.com.
We've been talking all morning about being prepared, right, and making sure that your family's well-fed. That's really where my friends at WhatACrock.com help me out all the time and really rescue me as far as making sure that no matter what's going on, no matter what's hitting the fan with regard to my family, the weather, whatever, I always have WhatACrock.com, a homemade meal, not by me, but it's right there in my freezer. So think about this and let WhatACrock help you with their easy-to-cook, nutritious dinners. You just drop a meal right into your slow cooker in the morning, go about your day, come home to a delicious dinner waiting for you. And by the way, there have been times where I have this crazy long day. I get home. You don't have to cook it in the slow cooker all day. There are other options that you can cook it more quickly. For me, it's just convenient. Wee hours of the morning, you know, plop it into the slow cooker. And then when we get home, it's just simmering and delicious. But it's really my backup plan. I love that. No chopping, no slicing, no searing or any other prep is required. No subscription required. That's a great option too. You can get a subscription if you want, but you don't have to. What a Crock's meal. They're delicious. I mean, you should have the beef stew is the tender beef or whether it's the chicken parm meatballs with the center of that delicious melted Parmesan cheese, which is like this pleasant surprise, biting into the chicken parm meatballs, grandma's beef meatballs. I could go on and on. The different soups, the different chilies, and the breakfast options as far as that, the French toast type. I mean, oh my gosh, it's making me hungry right now. Whatacrock.com. You got to do this. Great gift, by the way, for college students, new parents. Meals come very quickly, delivered right to your doorstep. If you want the person that you're giving a gift to be able to just choose their own meals, give the gift of a whatacrock.com digital gift card. Make sure you use promo code WPHT. $10 off your order, whatacrock.com. Tell Dawn.
Yo, it's Jay Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey, y'all. Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze. Grab your favorite thong because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.
Sent you.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
Yo, it's Jay Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters. Love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
We have to actually check in on the status of Sean Farish, who's dealing with, as he posted on social media, which I always love, his temperature. He's got a fever. How you feeling, pal?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I am pumped full of cold meds and flu meds. I don't think I've ever drank as much DayQuil in my life, but we're ready to go. And I don't want to keep the president waiting because I'm going to get chewed out.
You know, true.
I mean, he's going to be very upset with me.
That's right.
You know, he said, what are you talking to this guy? He looks like the Dallas store Bradley Cooper. What are you doing? You're making me wait for that guy.
Exactly right.
Sean is more of a man than I am because when I had that, I called him and I said, Sean, you got to fill in for me, buddy. I can't do this. Texting him this morning, he's like, nah, I'll be fine. Don't worry about it. I'm like, wow, this guy's a baller.
Having a good time.
There you go.
I mean, you look great, but I could tell when we first went to you, like in your eyes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I can see
Mama Stensland. Mama Stensland.
The glassy eyes. Not a lot of sleeping last night. Yeah. Got some good material. So the flu. Listen, we're doing great.
All right, so we will put Sean Farish on hold. He's going to drink Pedialyte as we welcome in the President of the United States, Donald J. Trump. Mr. President, great to have you with us again this morning. Sir, how are you?
Well, we've been better, right? We have the flu, and I just want to say something to all of the virus particles that are entering my body. We're slapping a 100% tariff on all of the virus particles that are entering my body. And if it turns out that this came from China, that'll be a 200% tariff. So we're doing a very good job. I met with my immune system this morning. Supreme Court said you have immunity. And my red, white, and blue blood cells are doing a tremendous job. Tom Holman is in charge of the white blood cells right now. They call him a white supremacist. You know that? They say that, but he's in charge of the white blood cells, and he's going to carry out the largest viral deportation operation the world has ever seen. And the fever, right? 101.3 is what we said, but it's coming down. It's going down faster than Joy Reid's ratings, I can tell you that.
Oh, beautiful. Mr. President, you caused quite a stir with Greenland, the Gulf of Mexico, the Panama Canal. What are your plans for all of these bodies of water in other countries?
Well, let's talk about the Pacific Ocean first, because apparently California can't get any water, so we're thinking of airlifting Chris Christie, dropping him into the Pacific Ocean, and creating a tsunami that'll put out the fire in about 15 minutes. Okay?
Sloppy Chris Christie.
It might not be the nicest thing to do, but it's a horrible thing that's happening in California. You look at the Gulf of Mexico. It's called the Gulf of America now. We're taking it. It's going to be rightfully ours. Our country borders more of it than Mexico does, so we're taking it back. And you look at Greenland. And that big, beautiful ogre I like to call John Fetterman, I'm bringing him down to Mar-a-Lago. He doesn't know this, but I'm bringing him to Mar-a-Lago because I really want to meet the lump on his neck, right? I want to see what the hell that thing is all about.
Good night, everybody.
And I heard that he might be running for president. It'll be Fetterman Lump 2028. We'll see what happens. But he's a interesting character, right? From the great state of Pennsylvania. He's a Steelers fan. I heard he loves Renegade by the Sticks. I actually wrote that song. Oh, mama. Right? Oh, mama. The hangman's coming down from the gallows. I don't have very long, right? It's a beautiful thing. The jig is up. The news is out. They finally found me. It's a tremendous thing. I like that song a lot better than Fly Eagles Fly, by the way. I just want to say that.
Come on.
You know that? I just have to say it. I have to say it.
Yeah.
The terrible towel. We named it after Crooked Hillary Clinton. It's terrible. But, you know, he's a good guy, and we'll see what happens. But we're going to take Greenland, whether they like it or not. And I dare Denmark to tell me no. Let me just tell you something. You're Denmark. Learn your place in the world, okay? Learn your place in the world.
Exactly right. You mentioned the wildfires and dropping Chris Christie into the Pacific to douse the flames. California wildfires, Karen Bass completely inept, Gavin Newsom taking fake phone calls, disaster after disaster. And you were right about the water up north, and they didn't listen.
Well, I just want to say something first. I've never been wrong, okay? So, of course, I was right. I have a 100% track record. I have a 1,000 batting average. I taught Shohei Ohtani how to play baseball. He's a great guy, right? Shohei Ohtani. I said, oh, my goodness, what a beautiful person. And I taught him how to play ball. He's a great guy. But you look at it, they have no water. They say they have no water because they want to save a fish. One fish, two fish. Red fish, blue fish. The red fish are doing a lot better than the blue fish these days. I just want to say that. But you look at Newsom and you look at Karen, right? They call her Karen Bass. I take the B out, but we don't want to say that. And she definitely is a Karen. I can say that, too. She's horrible. She landed. She came back from Ghana, right? She came back from Africa, just like crooked Joe Biden. And he blessed the rains down in Africa. We love it. He was like a leprous rising above the Serengeti. You look at that, and he has no idea where the hell he is. But you look at Karen Bass. She's doing a horrible job, and she ought to be ashamed of herself. Newsom ought to be ashamed of himself.
Yeah.
And crooked Nancy Pelosi, by the way, who's walking around in a walker with the tennis balls, right? She ought to be ashamed of herself, too.
Tennis balls.
California's burning down. Kamala Harris is at a funeral. She's doing horrible things. Crooked Joe is on the briefing saying, fire away. These are bad people and stupid people. And we're not stupid people. We're going to make your country great again. We're going to put those fires out like nobody's ever seen before. We may even make Kamala Harris blow them out. You know what I'm talking about. Like a birthday candle. You know what I'm talking about.
They?
Oh, man. Mr. President, speaking of Kamala Harris, she was in attendance yesterday. Jimmy Carter's funeral. And the world is talking. Social media is buzzing. You and Barack Obama chopping it up in the second row, having a good time, laughs were had. What exactly were you guys talking about?
Well, nobody knows this, right? This is breaking news. So listen up. Here's what we were talking about. Barack, during the campaign, he made fun of my crowd sizes, and then he implied that it had something to do with something else regarding size.
That's right, yeah.
I said to Barack, I said, it's bigger than your wife's. You know that, right? It's not bigger. Right? They call her Big Mike.
Whoa.
I don't call her that, but other people call her that. And that's what I said. And he laughed about it. He laughed about it. He thought that was hysterical. And he laughed about it. There was nothing he could do. He could only laugh. You either laugh or you cry. I heard he laughed, and then he went home and he cried. That's why Michelle wasn't there. Michael Motorcycle, right? She wasn't there. And Melania was there.
Yeah.
Everybody else was there. Michelle wasn't there. It is what it is. That's what I said. Nobody wants to talk about it. We're not letting it out, but we let it out now. The cat is out of the bag. It's a beautiful cat, by the way.
God.
And it's out of the bag. That's what we were talking. And Barack thought it was funny because it was funny. He's got a great sense of humor. He really does. And he's been playing a practical joke on the world with Michelle. But that's what I said. That's what we were talking about.
Wow.
And you saw the funeral. You saw Pete Hegseth's tattoo was all over the place.
Yeah.
And Elizabeth Warren, I call her Pocahontas, she was sending outraged smoke signals into the air to say how mad she was about it. She was doing that. What a horrible person. What a stupid person. And I also want to say this. Jimmy Carter never would have died if I was your president.
Staying with the Jimmy Carter funeral for a moment, Kamala, sitting up in the front row, she kind of looks back as you and Barack are having a conversation and then whips her head back around in disgust. And then also, as Kamala and Dougie were making their entrance, I don't know if you were aware of this or maybe you've seen the clips back on social media or maybe on Fox News. I know you watch a lot of television and media. Bill Clinton had his eyes fixated on Dougie's wife. Your thoughts on that?
Well, of course he did. You know, Bill Clinton is a creepy guy. And when you live with Hillary, you know, you have to let your eyes wander. You look at that woman. She is a gross person. She looks a lot like Emperor Palpatine. You know who I'm talking about, right? Sheev Palpatine. Got along well with him, by the way. Got along well with Luke Skywalker. Got along well with Jabba the Hutt, or as I call him, Whoopi Goldberg, right? You see that, but we got along well with a lot of the people in the galaxy, including Palpatine. He shot lightning out of his fingers. I taught him how to do that. I said, let the hate flow through you, Palps. And it flowed.
Palps.
Horrible things happen. We also got along well with Chewbacca. We love Chewbacca. But you look at that. She looks like Palpatine. Crooked Hillary looks like Palpatine. And Bill Clinton looks like he looks horrible, too. He looks like Jar Jar Binks. It's really terrible, but of course, his eyes are wandering. His eyes have been wandering for a long time, ever since Monica, right? His eyes are wandering all over the place. But I guess he's lost his taste if he's looking at Kamala Harris. She's got that gizzard. I don't know who the hell would want to go near that. God bless Dougie Doritos, right? He's got to live with that. I can't believe it.
Unbelievable. Donald Trump with us here, as he is every Friday on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. So let's get to the legal front. We'll start with the sentencing today, the hush money bookkeeping debacle, Judge Juan Merchan, and also the ruling from SCOTUS yesterday. What are you expecting in this facade?
Well, you look at Judge Merchan. He's a stupid person, and we gave him a complimentary middle finger this morning, right, because he wants to send me to jail. It's never going to happen. I've been sentenced to 4 years of community service by the American people, right? That'll have to do, but we flipped him off. We called it flip him off, right? The middle finger, big, beautiful middle finger. Nobody's ever seen anything like it. He's going to make a spectacle of it, and you're going to have Alvin Bragg. You know, you have a lot of snow happening all over the place. It's getting cold. But Alvin Bragg is nice and warm. I could tell you that because you look at him. He is the walrus. Cuckoo-ca-choo is what he said. He's a big guy. And the only case he's familiar with bringing, by the way, is the case of Twinkies. I expect to see that today. That fat slob. But you look at it. We're expecting nothing. But they're going to make a spectacle so they can call me a convicted felon. Which means I can use the term outlaw, right? I'm the greatest outlaw the world has ever seen. Donnie and Clyde. They call it Donnie and Clyde. And they can say whatever they want. We're going to overturn it on appeal. The Supreme Court ought to be ashamed of itself. Amy Commie Barrett. Stupid person. Never should have picked her. But we'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. And we're going to beat this case like nobody's ever beaten the case before. That much I can tell you.
Sean Farish, Donald Trump. Great stuff as always, and he's somehow doing the impersonation while under the weather, which is probably not great for the pipes.
Dayquil.
Yes. Right. Chug that Dayquil. Keep pounding that Pedialyte. Let's get into a couple of things, and I want to get your thoughts, you know, your own perspective on the wildfires, Greenland, things like that. But I actually want to start with all this, you know, potential bad weather in Tennessee. I know you were posting some videos. You know, I lived there for four and a half years. I still don't get it. How the hell these people, I mean, you get, well, there might be 3 inches, and they raid the grocery store like they won't be able to get out of their house until Easter.
Listen, I love this state, okay? I'm never leaving, but when I was in New York, I used to love the snow. We would get like 3 feet. I would get drunk in it. It would be a lot of fun. Like, it was just, it was a great time because we were able to go out and do things because the state was prepared. I get it that Tennessee isn't prepared for this type of weather. You know, we're in the South and we get maybe 9 inches a year, which is, by the way, not enough for Pete Buttigieg, but I like to say that.
Mayor Pete!
Oh, man. You know, he made Trump wait, so he's still spicy this morning. That's the thing.
Yeah.
But I knew when the winter weather watches came up, you know, and we went in to stock up. My wife's been sick. Obviously, I caught it. But I went to the supermarket. I said, this is Snowvid 25. Like, there was no paper towels. Snowvid. There was no meat. There was no onions. I mean, I was like, what are we doing? And then my thing is this, by the way, why bread? Like, why are we stocking up on bread?
Mm-hmm.
That's the most boring thing. I get it. You can make sandwiches, you can make toast, you can make this, you can make that. I mean, get something good.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Steaks.
I mean,
steaks.
Steaks, but yeah. There was no meat, right?
Oh.
I mean, there was really nothing. I mean, like nothing.
Oh my
God. And I couldn't believe it. Every time there's a snowstorm, like the word snow, it's game over. It's mm-hmm. It's a raid. It is. And I don't think it's people hoarding. Honestly, everybody who was in the store had like a normal cart. I think it's just so many people buying because they know that if they don't now, the store will close
mm-hmm.
and they won't be able to get to it. So it's just more people buying a normal amount of stuff. But that's how fragile our supply chain is.
Yeah.
Right. Where if a lot of people buy a normal amount of things, nothing is left, which is really scary.
Yeah. I'm just grateful that Joe Biden was able to educate us on how supply chains work throughout the pandemic, because all of us in America, we had no idea how those things worked. It's good.
Well, I made a video in a supermarket. We did Bare Shelves Biden. And it was so funny because I was after work one day. I went in the supermarket and I went to the toilet paper aisle. I knew there was going to be nothing there. There were these people down the row. And I went up to them and I said, this is going to be weird. I don't know you. You don't know me. I just need you to be quiet for like the next 90 seconds. And they were like, what? Like, who, what, what? I said, just, it's okay. And I did. I said, the shelves are empty. It's worse. It's emptier than Crooked Joe's brain. It's terrible. And we put it up. It went all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
Bare Shelves Biden trended number one in the USA on Twitter.
Yep.
1.0. So there was censorship the morning after. And then the Australian Sky News, they were like, get a load of this guy in his bare shelf bot. If Trump doesn't run for president, this guy should. It was like, I was like, yes, we've reached the Aussies. Let's go. Aussie, Aussie, Aussie. I was so excited. So, but yeah, Biden taught us a lot about supply chains.
Amazing.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to keep Sean around into the 9 o'clock hour, get his thoughts on the California wildfires, also these court cases, some of the Title IX stuff with Biden, Greenland, all of that still ahead. 9 o'clock hour on a Friday with Farish as he rehydrates during the break. Stay there. It's Kale and Company. Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Start your day with Kale and Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.
Yo, it's Jay Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, mine starts here.